No, not the bee sting. They say, great one. What the fuck are you talking about? The bee sting. Did you get stung by a bee? No, it's a cadence from when I was in the United States Army, back before women and trannies were in the infantry. You say, well, it doesn't sound like a cadence. Well, it is. I was modifying it a little bit, right? Oh, no, not the bee sting. Kids, you have to read this book. You have to. It is required. You can scream and shout with all your might. Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, moan. Look for a safe space. Dig in your heels and hold on tight. You can shove your opinions up your ass. That way the trumpet for your cock has something to keep it company. Either you are wrong or I am right. Don't forget, the ever-present, the most likely, the third possibility, you are wrong. And I am right. Go fuck yourselves. Greetings, friends and enemies. Here it is Saturday. This is October. It's close. They both have vowels in them. October 14th in the year of Lord and Savior Trump and Pure 2017. This is Stating the Obvious podcast, the weapons platform from which I launch the cruise missile my intellect homes in on and destroys. Blows them up. Little fucking statist all around the world. Today, however, the stupidity-seeking warhead, stupidity-seeking guidance system, rather, guiding the nuclear-tipped cruise missile of my intellect, is going to home in on millennials. Oh my god. Yeah, so I got the water bottle, got some hot tea, got a shot glass full of Boodle's gin, which I gotta remember to fucking respond to that. Anyway, it is windy outside in the People's Republic of Fort Collins. It's like Wyoming or something. The wind's blowing like a motherfucker, which is good because it gives me a good reason to stay in and do the podcast because we've been having some nice weather. I'm trying to get the fuck outside before winter comes. Did some trail running the other day. Very nice. Saw some deer. No cute girls. Cute girls are starting to taper down a little. And of course, the weather. Yeah, we're off to a good start. Can't fucking talk. The weather is getting a little cooler, so not as many short skirts and shorts. More into the pants and the jeans now. But fortunately, as long as the jeans are tight, their butts still look good. I'm the Great One himself, founder of Cynical Libertarian Society, CYNLIBSOC.com on the interwebs. You can send me email at God, dog spelled backwards, God, CYNLIBSOC.com. You can also Twitterverse me. If you Twitterverse me, I'll see it eventually. I'll respond, or at least... Yeah, you can ask questions over there. I got some questions. I'll answer them on the podcast. I'm not going to try to answer questions in 140 characters. Okay, there's a lot. There's a great one. Are you going to finish reading the article about adjunct professors? Yes. Yes. Calm down, okay? This is major important. I must drop everything. And I must talk about this book. Disrupted, My Misadventures in the Startup Bubble by Dan Lyons. Oh, I gotta find, hold on, I gotta find the fucking screenshot. Where is it? There, no. God damn it. Are you shitting? Oh, no, there it is. Whew. Okay. Where do I start? I want to start here. Marketing Over Coffee podcast. Now, if you like podcasts, and if you're listening to me right now, I have to assume that you like podcasts, although who knows? One should never assume. If you're not listening to the Marketing Over Coffee podcast, you should be. You say, great one. Why the fuck would I listen to a podcast called Marketing Over Coffee? Sounds like they talk about marketing, and I don't do marketing, and I don't care about marketing, and marketing can go fuck itself. Okay, all of those are legitimate points. Here's why you should listen to Marketing Over Coffee podcast. Number one, these guys are OG. These guys have, I'm not exactly sure when the first episode came out. They are, but they're, what the fuck just happened there? Sorry, the computer is just randomly doing shit. I did not ask you to do that. The fuck was it? Marketing over coffee. These guys have been doing this podcast for over 10 years. In fact, I don't know when their first episode ever came out. They might actually be podcasting, have been podcasting, whatever the fucking words are I'm supposed to use. They may be older than my podcast. I'm not sure. They've been around a long time. Number two, it's entertaining. Number three, they're typically very short, 15 to 20 minutes. Sometimes they go a little bit longer if they have a guest on that they're interviewing. Next of all, you will hear about interesting books that you might want to read. For example, Disrupted. I heard about this book from Marketing Over Coffee podcast. Oh, hang on a second. I also heard about the book You Can Negotiate Anything with Herb Cohen, and they had Herb on there and they interviewed him, and he was pretty interesting, so I got the book and I only just barely started into it, only the first couple of chapters, but it's interesting. It might be worth a read if you're wanting to pick up some tips on negotiating. Also, hold on, I gotta go find this one, because I want to plug this. This book I actually had to buy. I bought this on the Amazon of the .com. What the fuck? Oh, that's where I spilled coffee. Okay. Disrupted and You Can Negotiate Anything I got through the library. This book is called 3 Feet from Seven Figures by David Spark, spelled like it sounds, David Spark. And what this book is about is, how do we put it? Okay, well, here's the subtitle. One-on-one engagement techniques to qualify more leads at trade shows. So if you, and they interviewed this author and he was talking and everything, and he's like, oh, this sounds really interesting. I want to read his book. So first of all, if you have a job or you own a business where you do trade show stuff, and I have been to trade shows, you should absolutely read this book. Because having gone to trade shows, I can tell you most people who run trade show booths, oh, you are doing it so fucking wrong. You are doing it terribly fucking wrong. Well, but we have booth babes in skimpy clothes. Okay, yes, but everything else, you're doing it wrong. So from that perspective, as a business book, I'm telling you this is a fantastic book if you own a company or you work trade shows, because you are doing it wrong. As the guy is talking, and he's talking about his book, David Spark is talking about his book, and he's saying, okay, look, you're at a trade show and you're standing there and these people are walking by, you don't know them, they don't know you, you need to qualify them, right? You want to jump in, you want to meet them, you want to say something, you want to engage them briefly, you want to find out if this person is a potential customer for your service, your product, your widget, you know, whatever the fuck it is. And he's talking about how you do with this. He's talking about how do you engage these people in conversation. Once again, how do you just jump in there and start a quick conversation with someone who's paying no attention to you, has no interest in talking to you, all this other stuff. And he's talking about, here's one question that you can use. And I'm going, that's fucking great. And then the light goes off in my head. It's like, wait, what David Spark is talking about is day game. A large amount of the information in this book is directly applicable to meeting girls. Because it's exactly the same thing. You're standing there downtown. There's a bunch of chicks walking past you. They don't know who you are. They're not interested in talking to you. They're paying no attention to you. You want to engage them and qualify them to determine if they should be riding your cock. It's exactly the same as working a booth at a trade show. I'm like, holy shit, I have to read this book. And I can tell you, there's a lot of good applicable fucking day game shit in this book. 3 Feet from Seven Figures by David Spark. And as I walk away to go find the other book so I can get the information correct, just the little bit I've seen too, You Can Negotiate Anything by Herb Cohen. If you're going to try to have sex with a woman, okay, you have to negotiate that. Now, of course, I'm not saying women negotiate logically, but you're still having to negotiate. Because, look, if we didn't have to negotiate having sex with women, we'd just all be having sex with women all the time, right? Well, not having sex with a woman without the negotiation process, that's called rape, unless you're a Muslim, in which case it's perfectly acceptable. Or Bill Clinton. Who's this guy, Harvey Weinstein? Is that his name? Who's the Hollywood guy who, I don't even know what's going on. I have no idea, other than just whatever. It's some guy from Hollywood and he's sexually molested women or raped women or had sex with women or drugged women. I don't know. But it's okay because he's a white Democrat. So if you're Harvey Weinstein or Bill Clinton or a Muslim, it's not rape. But for the rest of us, we have to negotiate sex with women. Another reason, Marketing Over Coffee podcast. You should be listening to this because if you like books, if you're not Aaron Clary, if you're listening, I'm sure Disrupted is in audio format. I am telling you, you need to listen to this book. Guys, and if you're listening to this podcast, I'm telling all of you, you have to read this book. You have to. Trust me, I'm going to tell you all about it. You have to just right now, while you're listening to this podcast, what the fuck ever, go to your library website, type in Disrupted Dan Lyons, what the fuck ever, if you got your Kindle Unlimited, fucking go, whatever. Start looking for the book right now. You have to read this book or listen to this book. You will, and not an exaggeration, you will be on the floor with laughter. The bullshit that he goes through working at this company, a company populated by millennials, run by millennials, a tech startup. The company he works for in this book is called HubSpot. Now, for those of you who are not losers and have never heard of HubSpot, HubSpot is a company that sells marketing software. And the point of HubSpot is HubSpot says, yes, if you buy our software, you don't have to do cold calls anymore, and we're going to help you get more customers and all this other shit, which is hilarious because, as you learn in the book, HubSpot gets customers by having a room full of dude bro frat boys and giving them free beer, and they just call people all day long. They do cold calling is how they get their customers, and their product is a product that's supposed to prevent you from having to do cold calling to get customers. Hang on. It's 258 pages of fucking millennial and technology fail. Trust me, I'm going to tell you all about it. Let's get back to Marketing Over Coffee podcast, where I heard about this book. Another reason you should listen to Marketing Over Coffee podcast. Hang on, I need to take a sip of Boodles. I'm waiting for the Boodles to assume some room temperature so I can more accurately judge the taste. So far, I don't think it's as good as Plymouth. Now you're saying, great one, why is it not already at room temperature? Okay, if you're going to make a martini, you should store the gin for your martini in the freezer. When you're making a martini, your shaker should be in the freezer so it's cold. Your martini glass should be in the freezer so it's cold. Your gin should be in the freezer. And the vermouth should be in the refrigerator. So all this should be, so my gin is in the freezer. And of course, naturally, when it's that cold, you lose a little bit of the ability to taste it. Now, but the martini still works because you make the martini, and in the process of making the martini, it comes closer to room temperature. You pour the martini, and by the time you actually get around to drinking the martini, it's not that same level of cold, so you get the taste. Anyhow, I'm doing a little shot of the Boodles in order to test it out. It's not bad, but it's not quite as good as Plymouth, I don't think. Maybe I'll have to force myself to do a taste test later on, get a shot of each and go back and forth. Oh, that would be traumatic if I had to test out two different gins in a head-to-head competition. Oh, God, I could be traumatized for years if I had to do that. Another reason you should be listening to Marketing Over Coffee podcast is to hear about the tactics that marketers use to sell things to you. We all know Google reads your email, and we all know about cookies and all this other shit, like internet browser cookies. But some of the stuff out there, some of the things they're working on, one thing that they're talking about on the podcast that's being worked on is, so you go to the store and you walk in the store and there's the cameras up there and the cameras do facial recognition and the camera goes, dee, 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 dee. Oh, that's the great one. He comes in once a month. He buys these two items. 2 months ago, he came in and he bought this other item. 73% of the time, he's smiling, but today he's frowning, so he might be in a bad mood, and it sends all this information to the fucking clerk on her little iPad, who then can come up there and start selling you shit because she knows who you are and what you buy and all this other stuff. And you will hear about, you'll also hear about cool things like the Raspberry Pi. It's spelled P-I. It's this little mini computer that you can do interesting things with. I don't know a lot about it yet because I heard about it and it's like, I went to the website and it's like, oh, these look interesting. You do some projects, whatever. So they talk a lot about technology and they talk about social media. And generally, not always, but generally this stuff always sort of comes back around to how is it used for marketing? How can you use it to sell things to people? And so this is good if you're trying to sell something, whether that be your widgets or your services, or maybe you're trying to sell your podcast. Maybe you're trying to sell your YouTube channel. Okay, there will be pieces of information you could glean from this podcast that will help you to distribute whatever you're trying to distribute. And at the same time, you will hear things about how people are trying to sell shit to you that will allow you, so you should desire to, hopefully, in some cases, counter this, but at the very least, to just be aware of the fact that, hey, this is what's going on. When I do this, when I click submit, this is what's going to happen or whatever. So if you're interested in internet privacy or the privacy of your digital data, listening to this podcast will keep you informed about some of the ways in which your digital data is compromised and your internet privacy is compromised. And yes, occasionally they are douchebags, such as after this book came out, the one guy says, well, basically it's about this old guy who left the Titanic and went to a different ship and was really shocked that people did things differently on this other ship. And then I read the book and I'm like, okay, well, I understand because you work in marketing. Oh, I don't think I finished. HubSpot is a marketing company. No, I did. So I understand you work in a marketing company because both of the guys who do this podcast work for companies that do marketing. So they have to spin everything that is marketing in a positive light, right? Once again, as long as you just keep that in mind, it's fine. It's like you're listening to this podcast, I'm going to spin everything towards anarchy. right? Unlike other people, however, I don't have to sit here and lie about my agenda. I'm pretty fucking open. I spin everything towards anarchy. That's my perspective. That's what I'm pimping. And they didn't outright attack the book, but they attempted to make disparaging comments about the book after reading it, which is understandable because they are marketers, and this book is about a marketing company and reveals what a terrible fucking place it was to be. So the guy who wrote this book, Dan Lyons, now we got to get a couple of things about Dan out of the way. When he went to the company, he was like, 52 years old? So he's an old guy. And he is a quote-unquote journalist. He worked for Newsweek. Okay. Now, this is important to understand. It also says here, Dan Lyons is a novelist, journalist, and screenwriter. He is currently a writer for the HBO series Silicon Valley. Previously, Lyons was technology editor at Newsweek and the creator of the groundbreaking viral blog The Secret Diary of Steve Jobs. Lyons has written for the New York Times, GQ, Vanity Fair, and Wired. He lives in Winchester, Massachusetts. Now, it's important to know this, among other things, because Dan is a left-wing statist. He is a liberal. He's old school media. He's Newsweek. You don't get any more Republican-hating, Democrat-supporting, social justice warrior, diversity, tolerance, fucking multiculturalism than somebody who has a fucking journalism degree and works at Newsweek. Reading the book, multiple times during the book, he points out that, I'm working at this company that can't shut up about diversity, and yet almost everyone here is white, except for a couple of Indian guys. Indian dot, not Indian feather. He's like, the management team is almost exclusively white men. The board of directors is almost exclusively white men. I may or may not read this when I go through and do, yes, there will be reading. And there will be laughter. There will be great laughter. Because I will not be able to control myself. I would love to, if I was talented enough, record the audiobook version of this book. The only problem is it would take months because I would not be able to read this book without laughing out loud. But through the whole, so one time he goes to HR and he's like, so can I see your statistics on diversity in the workplace? And the HR bitch, the HR cunt is like, oh, we don't keep statistics on diversity. And yet the company is always talking about diversity. Now, more importantly, so after hearing about the book on marketing over coffee and hearing this about an old guy working in a company run by millennials and hearing that the company is HubSpot, and I'm somewhat familiar with HubSpot because back years ago when I cared about shit like SEO and I was trying to do all this horse shit, I read some stuff at HubSpot and everything is like, hey, put in your name and address and get this free ebook and then we'll and I would always use fake email addresses, of course, because I don't want them contacting me, which is exactly what they do because, as he says in here, they have this call center with all these drunk dude bro frat boys calling everybody to sell you software that will sell for you so you don't have to have call centers. And the company's never made a profit. The company's never made a profit. Worth billions of dollars, never made a profit. Anyhow, I'm getting way ahead of myself because there's way too much going on. Because it's way too funny. It's way too amazing. It's awesome. It's awesome. Everything is awesome with millennials. You've heard me talking about this before. I'm so sick of fucking millennials. I'm so sick. It's awesome. 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 Awesome is their favorite word. And the people in this book that he works with, I mean, once again, guys, we understand. If you're listening to this podcast, you understand the quote-unquote workplace. If you have a job, you work for a corporation, the workplace is filled with incompetent people and sociopaths. You've seen it. I've seen it. We have both seen it. The shit he encounters is leveling up. The number of times other people in this book stab him in the back. And again, he's kind of a wuss. I mean, there's times where they're like, oh, well, you know, we're just shitting right here in your face. And he just sits there and takes it because he keeps writing, well, I thought that if I played nice, and the number of times he has to apologize to women. This book, number one, is a case study in why you don't give millennials power. Number two, it's a case study in the fact that the days of the gold watch and you worked for a company and you retired, those are long gone. This company just throws people away that you do. And when you get fired at HubSpot, it's called graduating. They send out the email, today Sally graduated from HubSpot. We wish her the best in her future endeavors. Right? So for any of you out there who have any illusions that there is such a thing as workplace security, you need to read this book. If you're out there thinking, well, maybe I should give millennials some power in my company, you need to read this book. If you're thinking that the place where you work is filled with sociopaths, and it probably is, you need to read this book. And you need to read him sitting here. They're like, you have to go apologize to these girls. Oh, if you think women in the workplace is a good idea, you need to read this book. The number of times his boss tells him he has to go to apologize to a woman because he made a joke on, his boss starts fucking riding his ass, just fucking browbeating him, yada, yada, yada. Okay, finally he goes in there, he says, what did I do that you're doing this to me? His boss, a 40-something-year-old grown man, says to Dan, a 50-something grown man, he says, yes, I have been unfairly riding your ass because you unfriended me on Facebook. Guys, I can't make this up. You have to read this book. Immature, fucking feminized, sensitive, snowflake sociopaths. Hundreds of them in one place. And this poor guy, Dan Lyons, left-wing status liberal Democrat that he takes this job and he is in this environment and he has no clue what's going on. And he just gets fucking savaged. Okay, so multiple times throughout the book, he's pointing out the great lack of diversity at this company. So I hear about the book, Disrupted by Dan Lyons, on Marketing Over Coffee podcast. And I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, well, do I want to read this book or not? Finite life, all that other good stuff. So I do what I do when I'm trying to decide if I want to read a book. I go to Amazon.com. And I look at the one-star reviews. So, you know, when you first go to Amazon, like you put in the book, so the page for Disrupted comes up and you scroll down, there's the reviews right there. But then there's a little sidebar where it has the short excerpts of other reviews. I took a screenshot of that. It will be in the show notes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 reviews. One of them is a 5-star review. The other 6 reviews are 1-star reviews. Let me read these to you. Number 1, terrible book written by a neo-Nazi sympathizer and a misogynist. Remember, guys, this is a 50-year-old white liberal Democrat journalist who worked for Newsweek who wanted to know from HR where their fucking diversity statistics are. Review. Obligatory review of a book written by a terrible person. Advertisements for this book are directly above Twitter posts where the author admits to being a misogynist and white supremacist. Review. misogynist wrote a book. The author is an admitted misogynist and a player in the Gamergate fiasco. Don't take my word for it. Check his Twitter feed for his lame apology. One-star review. This book is a self-pitying fever dream written by a narcissistic numpty, I don't know what that is, who is willing to use sexism and abusive tactics to attempt to hurt people he's never met. No, it's a book about how the people he was working for at HubSpot fucked him over every chance they got. One-star review. Terrible person, terrible book. One-star review. Great for soaking up dirty water. The first chapter of text is all right. However, 50 pages in, it becomes trash. The author's case for misogyny and reverse sexism shines through clearly. Unlike the person... Now, I guarantee you all of those are written by HubSpot employees. Unlike the person who wrote those, I just finished... I finished this book, closed it, came up here, started recording. I have just finished this book. There is no fucking misogyny or sexism in this book. If anything, he's wanting to know why there aren't more women in management positions. He brings the question up multiple times. Which just goes to show social justice warriors always project. These people are fucking sick. They are fucking mentally broken. They are left-wing statist, social justice warrior, millennials working for HubSpot, a company that is arguably a cult. And has never made a fucking profit. After seeing those one-star reviews, I knew I had to read this book. Any book where there's that much consistent misogyny and fucking accusations thrown at it, you know that's a good book. And the white supremacist, once again, all he does is point out that the company is entirely filled up with white people except for a couple of fucking Indians. He's asking, where is the diversity? Even though, of course, HubSpot's like, oh, we value diversity. And he just wants to know, okay, where are the non-white people at if you value diversity? See, that's racist. That's being a white supremacist. Okay. OMG, the Halloween party. And here's the picture. The picture of the HubSpot employees. Underneath it, it says, we dare to be different. And he's got the picture of all the HubSpot employees. And it's nothing but white people. But oh, they dare to be different. All right. Let me take a breath for a second here. I gotta calm down. Guys, I'm so excited. I am so happy to share this book with you. You know, and the other thing too, I mean, in the book, he's very upfront about the fact that, hey, you know, I'm this 50-year-old white guy. I've worked at Newsweek. I've worked in these other places. You know, I knew I was going into this company filled with young people. I knew I was going to have some difficulties. I knew the culture was going to be different than what I'm used to. I knew it was going to be a different kind of workplace than working at Newsweek. You know, that's the other thing. He's just can't believe people are different. No, he went in expecting the corporate culture to be different than what he was used to. What he didn't expect, because he's been out of touch, is the level of backstabbing that he would be a recipient of. The level of emotional manipulation. And of course, the amount of posturing that HubSpot does about how wonderful they are and diverse and transparency. I mean, just jumping to the end, when HubSpot found out that he was writing a book, you know, they tried to hack into his computer. The FBI went and investigated HubSpot and all this other shit. And yet he can't find out what happened. You know, they're just the transparency. We're so transparent. and yet just the bullshit that goes on. He starts off writing for their blog when they call him in and say, you know, your blog articles, well, you need to dumb them down because they're just too intelligent. You're not converting. Because the point of the, you know, here's, let me trick something out real quick. Let me fire this up. Because as they explain, because remember, he was the technology editor at Newsweek. And yes, we have our, we, you and I, if you're listening to this cast, I'm sure that I can speak for you in this sense. Yes, we recognize Newsweek as the left-wing statist, liberal agenda, mainstream media, selling advertising, just giant piece of fucking shit non-journalism that Newsweek is, right? Neither of us are going to sit here and say that Newsweek is a fucking wonderful source of information or unbiased information. Nonetheless, he came from Newsweek as a technology editor, where he was used to, while the things he was writing may have had some political bent to them or whatever, he was used to writing articles about technology for intelligent people. And he gets to HubSpot, and they're telling him, no, you got to dumb it down. You got to write about, like, what is HTML? And shit like that. And he's just like, holy fucking shit. You know, you guys hired me. Yeah, it's just hilarious. So he gets hired. And then his bosses, the people who... See, here it is. Here's the HubSpot blog. This is what they write. How to write catchy email subject lines. 17 tips. Snapchat use among influencers is down 33%. 13 things to start, stop, and keep doing with your email marketing in 2018. How to start a competitive analysis. 57 questions you need to ask. Free kit. See, by free kit, you have to give them your email address, your name, and your phone number. I know this because I've used HubSpot before. And then they fucking call you and try to sell you shit. That's called converting. If someone reads the blog post and then gives HubSpot their contact information so HubSpot can contact them, that's called converting. He wasn't writing posts that were converting. He was writing posts that were intelligent. He got in trouble for this. They told him, no, you got to write dumber blog posts. Oh, hey, well, since I'm here, well, great one. Thanks for the shout out on your latest podcast. I do, in fact, live in Grand Junction, which, as you know, is the American half of the People's Republic of Colorado. I would most definitely head to Fort Collins for a bike ride. Get a hold of me and we can come up with plans. Talk later, and then I will not mention the gentleman's name, but he is a Colorado sergeant in the Caposphere. All right, well, look at that, man. I'm glad to hear from you, my friend. Okay, I gotta breathe again and focus because, guy, I'm telling you, you have to read this book. You know, and those of you who are young, those of you who are millennials, but are not the standard millennial, that, right, you're not stupid. Your IQ is in the fucking triple digits. Once again, this and you, and so, and thus, the point is, you're young, you haven't had a real job yet, right? And you, if you're still disillusioned, if you think that a real job is going to be like interacting with adults, you should read this book, because this, if you think a, just like if you thought a college was different than high school, and then you went to college and you found out that it's just high school with beer, okay, you think that getting a real job is going to be different? No, it's like college with the drama and everything else. All right. Excusez-moi. Let me focus. There's so much in here I really want. Chapter 7 is titled, We Need to Make the Blog a Lot More Dumber. Oh, and so then they come to this guy. They come to Dan, and they say, ah, Dan. Oh, all right. Oh, my God. Oh, there's so much. Okay, there's so many lessons for you young people to learn about how the workplace works. So Dan goes to his boss and he says, I've got this great idea. Let's do a separate blog. And I'll head it up. I'll do all the work. Let's do this other blog. And instead of writing for converting and this stuff, let's do a more high-tech blog where we write more in-depth technology pieces like I did at Newsweek. And I know lots of people we can bring in the technology field, right? That's one of the reasons HubSpot claims they hired him. He is a technology writer. He knows about technology. Dan knows people in the technology field. He's like, look, I know all these people. I can get them in. We can interview them. We can write about them. We can get inside scoop. We can do all this stuff. Let's make this whole different blog. And it'll be like great writing, and we'll do it very classy and excellent photographs. You know, we'll make it really fucking upper class. And it'll attract a different demographic than the HubSpot blog does. And they're like, well, no. So he goes over the guy's head. And like, no. So he goes to the fucking people who own the company, and he pitches the idea. And they're like, yeah, it's a great idea. Let's do it. Okay, so you're in charge. And he goes away and he goes to people and says, hey, the owners of the company said I could do this. I'm going to do this. This is what I need you guys to do. And the other people who work there, little 22-year-old girls, look at him and just say, no, we're not going to do that. He's like, what do you mean? The owners of the company said you have to do this. And they're like, we don't care. And it doesn't happen. Then, like a year later, his boss comes up with this great idea, and his boss says, hey, you know what we're going to do? We're going to create a different website, and we're going to have more intelligent writing, and we're going to do really nice photos, and we'll interview really important people. And Dan's just sitting there going, you know that was my idea, right? And he's like, yeah, I know, but I'm taking credit for it. Oh my God. And then they come to him and they say, hey, Dan, we got this great idea. We're going to do a podcast. Because Dan had done a little bit of podcasting, and Dan's sitting there thinking, oh, hey, podcast, great. Yeah, we're doing a podcast. We have all these people on here. And he's like, great. I can totally do this. I got a microphone. I got podcasting experience. They're like, no. You're not doing the podcast. The CEO is going to do the podcast. You're just going to be his secretary. You're going to line up the interviews and upload the podcast to iTunes and write the show notes. We're not going to let you actually do the podcast. For those of you who have never had a corporate job, you need to read this book. All right. God, it is amazing. It's so amazing. All right, hold on, I gotta find what I want to read some of this. It's just awesome, fucking amazing shit. It's awesome. It's so awesome. It's awesome. Ashley for president. And oh my God, and they have to send each other emails all the time. It's like, oh my God, that was so awesome. Oh my God, like Ashley writes a blog post. It's like, oh my God, Ashley, that was so awesome. Ashley for president. And you're like required to email the other people you work with and tell them how awesome they are. Oh my God. Oh. It is. Where am I at on time? Oh God, I'm gonna run out of time. All right, let me just do this one. Okay. You know what? Let me just read this. Let me read this to you. Trying to think where to jump in. Okay, blah, blah, blah. Tweets. There's tweet. Okay, blah, blah, blah. Right. And it's like HubSpot would send all the employees, like the text to put in their tweets or the text of what they should post on Facebook. And then you are expected to read, to tweet this stuff and pretend that you said it. You know, as he points in, wait, where does it say? The lazy tweets, these are called lazy tweets, right? The spinner has created some lazy tweets, Twitter messages that she has written that we can send from our personal Twitter accounts as if we have written them ourselves. All we have to do is click on a link and the tweet will go out from our account, urging our followers to check out this amazing new article about a brilliant management technique. Our tweets will contain a link to Dharmesh's post on LinkedIn. The lazy tweets make it easier for us, but having a bunch of people from HubSpot suddenly flood Twitter with exactly the same message at exactly the same time doesn't strike me as the smartest way to promote an article. Which is true. Remember now, this is a marketing company which is having all of its employees send out the same tweet from their personal accounts at the same time. Would you buy marketing from a company that thinks that's a good idea? Well, a lot of people would, because even though HubSpot's never made a profit, it is still bringing in millions of dollars. It's just spending even more money than it makes. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, I'm willing to help, but before I post any tweets, I take a few minutes to read the article. And what Dharmesh has written nearly knocks me off my chair. The title of the article is, quote, I'm going to run out of time. Your customers are not ignorant, selfish control freaks, unquote. Our company's thought leader, air quotes, claims he has made an innovative breakthrough in management science. He now brings a teddy bear to meetings, and he recommends everybody else do the same. That's right, a teddy bear. Dharmesh argues that a company should always be, quote, solving for the customer, unquote, or SFTC, as people call it at HubSpot. This means that in everything you do, you should be putting the needs of your customers ahead of everything else. To remind his HubSpot colleagues of that, Dharmesh has acquired a teddy bear, and he sits her at the table during meetings as a stand-in for the customer. Her name is Molly. There's a picture here of Dharmesh and the teddy bear sitting beside him at a meeting. Dharmesh goes on to say he just started out placing an empty chair at the conference table and pretending that the chair was a customer, but the empty chair wasn't enough. So now he has taken his innovation to the next level and brought in Molly. Dharmesh's LinkedIn article even includes a photograph of Molly sitting at a meeting next to Cranium. Oh, I'm sorry, that's Cranium, not Dharmesh. In the photo, Cranium is the big guy in the white shirt, and Molly is the little one next to him, drinking what appears to be a Red Bull and looking like she's ready to carve someone a new asshole. I cannot believe this. Here are grown men and women, who I presume are fully sentient adult human beings, and they are sitting in meetings talking to a teddy bear. Am I working with these people? No, worse, I am working for them. At Newsweek, I worked with John Meacham, who won a Pulitzer Prize for his biography of Andrew Jackson. Here, I work for a guy who brings a teddy bear to work and considers it a management innovation. How do people sit in a meeting and not make fun of this? Who can read this bullshit on LinkedIn about a teddy bear and not burst out laughing? Who could respond to this kind of inanity with anything other than complete and total derision? Does the teddy bear have a mind of its own? Does she ever disagree with Dharmesh? Does she ever contradict the other members of the management team? How exactly does Molly lobby on behalf of the customers? If you really want actual customer feedback, you could create a customer advisory panel and ask for their input, which is something that other companies actually do. People on LinkedIn can post comments under the articles, and I figure Dharmesh will get savaged. But I'm wrong. In fact, people seem to think that Molly the teddy bear is a fantastic idea. People post glowing comments saying what a brilliant idea this is, and vowing that they too will start bringing teddy bears or perhaps different stuffed animals to their meetings. My colleagues see nothing ridiculous about the teddy bear. Even Zach will not joke about it. This surprises me because Zach is still sort of new here and he's worked at other companies, including Google. I lean around the side of my monitor to get his attention. "Hey," I say in a quiet voice, looking around to make sure no one is listening. "Did you just read this essay that Dharmesh just published on LinkedIn? "He did. "I did," he says. "What did you think?" "Well, he's a good writer." "But the teddy bear," I say, "what did you think of that?" "I think it's cool that he's so serious about solving for the customer. A lot of companies lose sight of that." "Okay," I say, "all right, but the teddy bear, you really think that's a good idea? That's a big breakthrough in management. When you were at Google, if you found out that Larry Page was carrying a teddy bear to meetings, would people think that was okay? Because I think people would be afraid that Larry had lost his mind." Zach just shrugs. Startups are eccentric. So that's it. Zach isn't going to dish on the boss. No one is. This in itself is amazing to me. In any place I've ever worked, if the boss started bringing a teddy bear to meetings, he would be a laughingstock. Forever. There would be stuffed animals everywhere. Mean questions would be asked at all hands meetings. A teddy bear would be kidnapped and hung from a noose, photographed in fellatio with other stuffed animals, dressed in bondage gear, and sodomized by a smurf. You get the idea. Here at HubSpot, there's none of that. Dharmesh is our dear leader. A HubSpotter making fun of his teddy bear would be akin to a Scientologist making fun of L. Ron Hubbard's cravat or his kooky captain's hat. Yeah, guys, every place I've ever worked in my life. Yeah, so at the theater where I work, there's the chick they hired for the managed position. She's still dumber than shit. We had to make an instruction sheet so that she could understand how to use the radio, because she would like push the button on the radio and then talk immediately instead of waiting, or other people would be talking and she'd try to cut in on them. We ridicule her. We make fun of this. When I worked at the dialysis clinic, I've told you guys this story. We had the Dilbert cartoons on the bulletin board in the tech area, and the management people from up high came through and they saw the cartoons and they got their panties in a wad and they said, so the local manager came in and told us, "You can't have Dilbert cartoons on the bulletin board anymore." And we took the Dilbert cartoon in which the pointy-haired boss bans cartoons in the workplace. And Dilbert says, "So you're saying you're banning humor in the workplace in order to improve morale?" We took that strip and we put it on her desk and she hit the fucking ceiling and we mocked her and ridiculed her. And here, it's like the management does stupid shit and everyone is just Kool-Aid drinking. Yes, any job I've ever had, if anyone I worked for, the owner of the company, the fucking CEO, whatever, showed up with a fucking stuffed animal, they would be ridiculed to their face and behind their back. Yes, the stuffed animal would be fucking hung from a noose. Absolutely. The fucking stuffed animal would absolutely be photographed having sex with other stuffed animals. But not at HubSpot, because HubSpot is a fucking cult. And when your CEO brings a teddy bear to meetings and talks to it like it's a real person, you have to go along with that shit. It's just a-